Hey, I'm Dominic Guarnos.
And I'm Mark Rosenblatt.
And this is the M Detroit Podcast.
M Detroit Podcast is an interview-based podcast about the artists, creators, and innovators of Detroit.
So now listen to what we have in store for you this week.
This week on the podcast, we have none other than Darrell Red Campbell Jr. Dom, tell us a little bit about Darrell.
Awesome. So, Red, he toured before he was 21. We talk about that. We also talk about him getting into the music industry, being successful in the music industry, and staying in the music industry, and also life lessons.
And without further ado, please enjoy Darrell Red Campbell Jr.
Well, welcome to the In Detroit Podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Well, yeah, welcome back. Darrell Red Campbell Jr. is on the podcast today.
Here I am podcasting.
is this your first time to ever do a podcast?
No.
We got a seasoned pro.
No, not that either. I talk for a living. So basically,
I feel that. Talk,
so. You know,
if you can talk, you can live.
But that's deep. You can talk, you can live.
You can talk your way through living.
Oh, right. Applause, everybody.
But anyways, yeah, we have Darrell Campbell Jr. on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are super excited.
I'm glad to be here. You know, I don't take this kind of stuff for granted, because you can ask anybody in the world, or you can just do it yourself. You can ask each other questions. Literally, so I don't take stuff like this for granted. Anybody asks me to do anything.
We've had two people say that you should be on the podcast.
Oh!
So we're like super excited to do this. All right.
You're like, hey, I know that dude. I can just text him. All right, cool. Yeah. All right. Two people. All right. Must want to hear some of my jokes.
Right. Please, as many jokes as possible.
Oh, I always got jokes. I got a joke right now.
Okay, go.
Go for it.
Rob has no arms. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not Rob.
Okay.
I can do this all day.
Right? Oh my gosh. Every like 30 minutes.
Just tell another
20
joke.
Minutes.
I got knock, knock.
Your joke sensor will be like, tell a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're ready for it.
All right, good.
But before we do that, we're gonna start this podcast the way we always do. We're gonna read you your bio.
Duh. Hey, you know what's real weird? Everybody I know, like, is the more professional, like the higher up they go, the less they like to hear their bio. Like the bigger producers and bigger musicians and stuff, I know, like, I don't want to hear this. Okay, like I lived through it. Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
All right. I guess I'll read it. Darrell Campbell Jr., aka Red Campbell, actually appears to be larger when seen with one of his instruments. This proves Detroit's hustle, toughness, and balance produces a musical surface that actually magnifies under stage lights. As a musician, songwriter, producer, teacher, and preacher, stages are commonplace to express joy while smiling and using whatever fits into his hands. He was raised in the midst of rehearsals and band meetings alongside his father. During a Christmas vacation at the age of 10, he secretly used his father's recording equipment and recorded and produced his very own rap album. He says, "I just pushed the buttons that I saw my dad press. I guess that sparked my curiosity to do something musically." However, his career didn't actually take off until he was 12, when he was allowed to play piano on Sunday mornings at church. After realizing that he would make a much better musician than a football player, he quickly grasping advanced musical concepts. He ventured off to learn stringed instruments in high school in the Detroit Symphony Civic Orchestra. He quickly learned of the truly amazing musical gift that God had given him. After graduating from Detroit's Cass Tech High School, he bypassed the traditional collegiate education to try his hand in the traveling workforce as a touring keyboardist. Naturally, by the age of 21, he had seen and learned more things than most people learn in a lifetime. Pew. At the age of 35, He has traveled through most of America's states, and now he lends his hand at creating opportunities for other children to have some of the opportunities he had as a young man. The things we enjoy are given to us by God to eventually become what we use to mark our fingerprint in life. His fingerprint has recorded with the Dramatics, War, India Ari, Stevie Wonder, Holland, Dozier Holland, Anita Baker, Chris Johnson, Mary Wilson, Mike Powell, Dorinda Clark Cole, Hot Sauce, Yolanda Adams, LaToya Turrentine, Obie Trice, Frida Payne, Eminem, MTV, VH1. In each day, he strives to touch more. So, after hearing your bio...
There was a lie on there.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
What would you add or change?
I'm 38. That's it. No, it's 3 years old. But yeah, I make noise for a living, and I love life. I love having fun. At this point, literally, if I ain't smiling, I ain't doing it. So I work real hard to be able to play what I want to play with the people I want to play with. So I'm not the gig guy. I'm not like, you know, lots of rehearsals and all of that and a lot of practice. I don't do that anymore. I literally just want to play what I want to play with who I want to play with. Like, and I work real hard to get here. So I take a lot of pride in that. So like, yeah, that's huge for me. I get to play with my friends all day long.
That's awesome. Mm.
Yep. Yep.
Or some select friends you love to play with.
Oh, man, absolutely the Chris Johnson Band. Like, that's the top of my list. So like Nate and Nate Wynn, John Dixon, Sasha Kashberko, Chris Johnson, of course. Lulu does vocals. We got Lauren on percussion. Then there's Christina on vibes. Mm. There's Mel Shore on keys. Or sometimes Mike Jellick. Mm-hmm. It feels like I just listed 22 people. So that's, you know, it's like an octet. So, but no, like, yeah, that Hot Sauce, those are my brothers. Love playing with them, the Johnson brothers, and then the other three of us. Other than that, kind of just don't want to do it. Like, you know, I feel like a jerk sometimes when people call for, you know, for gigs. I'm like, who else is playing? Do I have to go to rehearsal? How long is it going to be? Like, I just did it for so long now, and I worked so hard to get here. I literally just want to play with my friends. And like, so when I do accept a gig, you could probably see like an hour into it, I'm yawning. I'm like, should have been playing with John right now. I could be at home. I could be doing nothing. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I work really hard to be, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound like a jerk.
Okay, good, good.
You sound like you've been seasoned and you live on your life.
Yeah, I just don't want like I'm better than everybody, and I don't, because I've heard that before. It's like even when I'm hearing other people consider like, oh, let's call Red for it. Well, he ain't coming to rehearsal, and like I don't want people to take that and be like, I just don't do it. Like I'm better than everybody else. I'm not. I just work real hard to do what I think that only I can do. Mm. And so that's really huge to me, is that I think what everybody should do is literally, like, when you're in a room and you realize that somebody else can do what you're doing, go do something else. Like, that's bottom line for me. I only want to do what nobody else in the room can do. And so I almost get irritated. I'm like in a room with so many people that are doing the same thing. And I'm like, okay, I got to figure out something else. Now. Like, and actually, that's how I got to play bass. I went to CAS actually as a violinist.
Okay.
And playing violin wasn't cool. I was a football player. I'm like, I'm not taking this violin home. Ain't nobody ever going to see me with this. I just told him I play bass. Nobody confirmed or nothing. I just told him I play bass. I'm like, okay. I stood next to Ibrahim Jones, who's an amazing bassist, amazing jazz bassist. I stood next to him and I just did everything he did. And I just got good at it. Like, all right. You know, they're 40 violinists over there. There's 5 bass players. I want to do that. I was at CAS as a music major, and I'm like, oh, I still got to play. So, yep, that's me. I'd rather do what no one else is doing or what nobody else can do.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Yakety, yakety, doodly doo.
So how did you start touring at 21 or before you were 21 years old?
Yeah, I started touring at 19. And I was being a jerk this day, but I was... I have 2 younger brothers that worked at Boston Market. This is a real roundabout story, but this is literally. They worked at Boston Market, and I had to pick them up from work at night. And if they got off at 8 o'clock, also, I've never had a real job, like, ever in my whole life. So I don't understand that. I mean, I understand the concept, but like back then I really didn't. If their shift got off at 8 o'clock, they wouldn't leave the restaurant till like 9. And I'd be sitting in the parking lot. Like, I don't get this. So one day they got off at like 2 or 3 or something like that. And I'm like, I'm gonna make y'all wait this time. So I went to Wonderland Music. And I was just playing the keyboard. And the guy walked past and said, hey, you play pretty good. You wanna go on tour? Yep. I was on tour like a week later.
It's amazing. So who was that asked you to go?
His name's Locke, Dwayne Lomax. He was the music director for the Dramatics.
Oh, wow.
And yep, that was my first tour. My very first date was Dramatics and Temptations at the Westbury Theater in New York. Super sweet. It's like a round room, and the stage rotates real slow. It's dope. That was my first tour date, dog. Yeah.
Wait, for some reason, I'm like envisioning like something like that, whereas on one side, there's like a band. And the band plays, and then on the other side of the stage is another band that after the first band plays.
No, it like, so the stage, like, almost like the auto show, like the car sitting on the turntable.
And you guys are in the center.
You're in the center of it, and the whole crowd is around you. And it's like, yeah, and it's just going in a circle real slow.
Wild.
It was dope. That's the Westbury Theater in New York. It's still open.
That's great. Like, ding, 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 ding,
yep.
Ding, ding.
Yep. That was my first tour date, and then I just stayed with the Dramatics for a couple years. I think I stopped playing with them when I was like 22. So that lasted 2 or 3 years. And then it just kept snowballing from there. People just kept calling and I was just kind of rolling. Yep.
So is this almost like you were in the loop now? Just like nowadays players like, Kali and Ron.
Yep.
They're all in that kind of network. So. Yep.
And I mean, like, we're all in a network. We're all in some kind of network. You know, friends that do different things. And that's super huge. It's like who you network with and who you communicate with. But like, what's even more important is being liked in that network.
Okay.
Because people will talk. You know, that's how I got here, right? People say, hey, you should be on this. Like, whatever. Like, even if it's, if you're in school and class ends, it's like, hey, who do we want to go to lunch with? And it's like, oh, this guy right here, he's cool. That's literally how touring worked for me for the next 10, 12, but I can't even name how many years, but it was like, hey, we need a bass player for this, or we need a keyboard player for this. And it was like, people just liked having me around. And when I started climbing up the ladder and able to pick my own bands, I did the same thing. It wasn't even about the best player. It was like, who do I really want to spend time with right now? Like, if you're going to be away from your family and I've done some pretty big shows, some pretty cool stuff. And like, that takes you away from your family at like, holidays and stuff. So every New Year you're gone, and Christmas, you want to watch something cool on TV and it'll be a cool show and you get to see a cool live show. Well, somebody's got to play that. And that would be me. I was in that kind of circuit. So it's like, you know, you're away from your family at Christmas and you miss Valentine's Day and all that kind of stuff. You want to be around people you really want to be around. And so, which also made me work really hard to get to this point too. Cause as much as I liked the Dramatics and stuff, I was 19. They were 50. We had nothing to even talk about. So the show is over and I'm like, okay, I'll go to my room and they go to their old people party and those things still happen. Okay. All right. Yeah. All the stuff that you think is not happening, people just get older, but they still party and do their old people thing. And I'm like,
did you ever go to one of those parties?
I didn't, because first of all, I wasn't invited. I'm 19 and they're older.
Oh, damn.
But like, I just didn't have an interest, you know. That's another thing too. I party how I party. And so, you know, with old people, then no. Uh-uh. I would go to dinner sometime, but not an old people party. Even, as I got older, I didn't really do party and touring too. Like, you know. Nah, that's why I just want to be with my friends. I hope it makes more sense now. Like, if you're with your friends, you don't really have to party. You can just go back to the hotel and, like, kick it. Me and Nate can have a pizza and watch ESPN. And I'm, like, having the time of my life because that's my best friend now. Like, show's over, let's kick it. We got Xbox or whatever. Oh, don't let it be a tour bus. Oh, man, that's fun on top of fun. You know, Chick-fil-A and, like, cookies and cake and... It's literally like a sleepover like all year round. And you get to play music and get paid for it. Like, yeah, so.
Man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a great way to look at it too. Because I remember you told me like one of the first conversations that I had with you, I was like, I was like a sophomore in college or something. Uh-huh. And I was like looking. And then I met you. And then you're like, yeah, man, I've been on tour. And I was just like, I swear to God, like, because literally before this conversation, you're just like, man, like, I want to look the same. Uh-huh. And I like looked at you and I'm just like, this man is like 26.
Nope.
This was like maybe like four or five years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, you've been on tour. That's crazy. And you're just like, yeah, man. But, you know, like touring is just like, you know, it's for a specific
type. Oh, man.
It's for a specific type of person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, it's crazy. So like the perspective is awesome because you're looking at it from, you know, like how can I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a different perspective than most.
Yeah. Yeah. Touring is definitely for a very specific kind of person. You got to be rooted in like who you are because it will rip you apart if not. Like. So there's two parts of it. Your day is pretty much scheduled for you. Like you got sound check. Let's go with bigger tours. So you got a whole day of run through.
Okay.
You know, you doing the BET Awards or something like that. You got a whole day of run through and rehearsal. And, you got to probably do that twice. Cause there's a run through for the band and that you're doing at a separate place. And then you get there, there's a tech run through for the lights. And then, you know, how things transition and all that. And then there's this box lunch that you get and you eat with everybody else. No real food. Like, you know, the artists get whatever they want. You know, they like catered, whatever. You get this box lunch and then you go back and you got another couple hours of rehearsal. So by now it's 4 or 5 o'clock. You go back to the hotel, you shower, and then you go and do your thing, right? Which lasts 3.5 minutes because it's the BET Awards. And you're like, okay, that's over now. And then what? Like... Dang. You go to a hotel and then it's not like people are waiting for you at the hotel and they're like, oh my God, you're such and such as bass player. Like they don't know you. They know the guy in front. You were in back. So, you know, it'll rip you apart. It will. Because at that point, then you're nobody again. But an hour ago, there were people yelling and screaming and like, you know, all that energy. That, and then you go home at some point. And nobody's scheduling dinner for you or lunch or what you play. And you've been gone for weeks or months and like now you're back home. Man, I used to get a ticket every time I came home because I was like, I forget traffic rules. Like there's a flashing red light. Do I stop here? Do I slow down? Okay, I'm going to just go. And up, whoop, tickets. I mean that. Like I lived in Belleville in my mid-20s. And I come home, I would get tickets in Romulus every time I drove. Let's forget stuff. And then you forget to eat because nobody scheduled it for you.
Like, that's crazy.
Yep. You're back home trying to grind and, you know, you got sessions all day and you look up and you're like, I forgot to eat today. Oh, shoot. I didn't get a box lunch. Like, you know, so yeah, touring is, yep. There's more. There's so many elements to it. I mean, you're with an artist and you play the same thing every night. Or if you're doing musicals, you play the exact same thing. There's no improv in that at all. You just read the chart and you do that for weeks. And a show run could last for a month, a year and a half or so. And you just play the same thing every night. Let it be Hamilton.
Ooh.
Biggest musical in like, you know, that we had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Two shows a day for 4 or 5 days a week. You play the exact same thing. It's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Are you going to turn down Hamilton?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Nope. 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 Had COVID not happened, Hamilton would still be rolling. It'd still be 4 or 5 days a week. Twice a day.
Oh, really? It's still going?
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be going.
Chicago, New York, and Detroit.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. That's wild.
Yep. That thing's huge. So, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, playing with the different types of artists that you've played with, you know, you've done a lot of different styles and genres and like the things that you learned from playing with those artists and styles and genres.
Yeah. Be a sponge because like I would get to sessions and I would literally act like a dummy. Like I would act like I never played stuff before because I just wanted everybody else's info. And so like one drummer plays like this versus another, like you have everything in you that you know. You know how to do something, how to respond to everything, but like just be a sponge and take in everybody else's advice and just be that for that moment. Another reason why even touring will kill you because you have to be so many different things. Like when I'm playing with Eminem, it's not the same thing as Free to Paint. It's not the same as Motown. It's not the same as jazz, but you got to be that for that moment. Mm-hmm. And so like you just adapt to that, be it, and then you get to be yourself later on your own stuff. So mm-hmm. yeah, everybody doesn't always want your flavor. Sometimes
is that like a conflict of interest for you where you would like have to be somebody, what else like somebody did, even though you're just like, I feel like.
Yeah, I didn't look at it as a conflict of interest because I was kind of selective about what I played and who I played with and stuff like that. Not so much a conflict of interest, but like another just opportunity. I would take those different opportunities because I played in a rock band. There's like YouTube videos of me playing bass with the rock band. At the same time that, you know, I'm going to church in like an hour and then and like, but at the same time, like I'm doing MTV stuff for Eminem earlier in the day. And it's like, I'm just wearing different hats. Like, you know, for me, it's almost like you work at McDonald's and you just serve people with what they order. And you know, I don't, you know, you order a cheeseburger. I don't think you really want a cheeseburger. Like, no, you don't do it. Like, no, you give the person the cheeseburger that they ordered. And if M is there and you say, hey, I want this line, you play that line. You're not taking solos and stuff. So
how'd you get the gig with Eminem?
More just being a good person. I attribute a lot to just being a good person and being around. But there was a company that I worked for called Sick Notes, and we just did a lot of hip hop stuff. And we do 3 or 4 tracks a day. And sometimes they would go nowhere. And then there's another time where it'd be opportunity because they worked with D12 prior to me being in that group. We're playing with them. So they work with D12. And M was the connection for that. Proof was still alive. Proof was the one that connected in the first place. And, yep, so we got the Obi Trice thing, and then that just landed us on the re-up. And so I got 2 songs on the re-up album.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And then you're on the record? Did you, like, tour with him at Mm-mm. all?
Nope, I didn't tour with him. Just studio stuff.
That's dope still.
Absolutely.
Did you record in Michigan or was that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Sweet. Yep. I was here. Yep.
Where was it?
You know, I actually don't know where the studio was at that time. I want to say Oak Park, but we moved around a little bit. So
okay.
I want to say it was in Oak Park at that time. Yep. We did a lot of cool stuff there, though. We did Obi Trice's stuff there. We did Eminem. And then that's where I got introduced to the scoring world with TV shows. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got to the MTV and VH1 stuff. Search was our manager at the time, and he just had plugs on shows, and he was doing these Ego Trip shows. So he did the white rapper and then the female rapper show.
Okay.
And then we just ended up having music on there. And on those shows, there's wall-to-wall music is what they call it. The music never stops. I didn't even peep that until we started doing it. Like on a lot of reality shows, there's music from beginning to end. And then we just upload music to a Dropbox, basically, and then they just select stuff. So most of the time, I didn't even watch the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, you just license it and look up and see it on your BMI and your paperwork, and there's another check. And like, yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Got to get into this business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yep. Everybody should. Licensing. Licensing is another thing. Because you can make stuff. I mean, yeah, you can do commercials. You can do TV shows. There's like so many things to license for. We're licensing for, there are athletes who have just websites. They want music on the website. Yeah. Sometimes it's not even good music. They don't want good music. You want cheesy music because you're doing a cheesy thing. Mm-hmm. Upload that. Put a license on it. That's it. To get the check. Nobody even knows it's you. So you can't say, oh, he makes bad music. You don't know. You don't know the guy that made that. Can't attach my name to it at all.
Right.
I just get paid and I get to pay my rent and I get to pay my bills and buy a nice car. Like, I don't know what I made.
There's some gears time. Okay.
You've literally seen commercials where that I've done music to. Just don't tell people you did the music. Like, whether you like it or not, that's not a big deal. Like, and commercials pay great. Like, great. I mean, like, 5-figure checks for 1 commercial. And you get a license on that too. So every time it's played, it's just like, I've got cable commercials. It's background music. You just license it. Sometimes I don't even like it. Upload it. Make it and upload it. Don't think too hard.
I know you guys can't see us, but my mouth has been open for the past like 2 minutes. I'm just,
licensing is the wave, man. Video game licensing
is it
now?
Still? I mean, like, how, you know? Because I mean, are you still doing that stuff now?
Mm-hmm.
And how is there more people in it, you know, than it, there was?
Yeah, but there's more opportunity because now there's YouTube shows, there's YouTube and YouTube streaming and stuff like that.
That's right.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities to make music and put it out. You know, even man, I didn't get this contract, but there was a Spotify thing that's happening. I can't say exactly what it is, mm-hmm. but there's a Spotify thing happening with a big artist, and I pitched it and everything, and I got close, but I didn't get it. But yeah, there's that kind of stuff. It's just like, there's nowhere you go where there's not music. You can, and somebody licensed it. Somebody's getting paid for it all the time. I'm talking about Target, Walmart. Like, everywhere you go, there is music. And somebody's getting paid for it.
Hmm.
Start digging into those opportunities.
God is wonderful today.
All right. I'm glad we're
recording. God is wonderful today.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I'm glad we're recording this.
Oh, my Lord.
This is amazing. So you wear different hats. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how you balance that?
Yes. I know for sure I tweeted this at least once. But the line goes, be very specific about your goals, but be flexible about how you get there. Mm. Musicians are, I gotta say it again for you.
Let me say it again.
Be very specific about your goals,
mm-hmm.
but be flexible about how you get there. How you get to the goal. And I can explain it like this. Musicians, we get tunnel vision on what we want to play, how we want to play before we have made it, before we made it big enough to make those decisions. Think of ourselves like an athlete. Mm-hmm. And if I play basketball, I can't leave college and say, I'm going to the Lakers. You can't do that. You get drafted to whatever team you get drafted to. And then you get good enough. And then you can say, hey, I want to get traded to the Lakers. But you don't leave college and say, if I don't get drafted to the Lakers, I ain't playing. You might not even get drafted. You might be playing overseas. Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. So we got to be flexible about how we get to where we're getting to and take that stuff and kill it. When you kill it, then you can make those decisions. You think LeBron decided, I'm going to Cleveland. I'm going to leave high school and I'm going to the NBA, but I'm going to Cleveland. No, that's what team picked him. And when he got there, you kill it. Then you can start making some moves. Hey, I don't want to play here anymore. I'm going to go to Miami. We will gladly take you, LeBron. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's what I mean by be very specific about your goals. I want to get to the NBA, but be flexible about how you get there. And when you're flexible with those things, kill it. Be a good person. Somebody will call you back for the next thing. You know, and just wear those hats. And like, so that's one thing. And I feel like I just balance by just being myself all the time. Like, although I'm wearing this hat, I'm still me. One of the cool things I think about, even those sessions with Sick Notes, man, they valued who I am, but they like respected who I was. So even if we were doing a session with the big rapper, we would do like tone and stuff like that. And like, you know, we know the stories. There's drugs and there's alcohol and all that stuff. I have never done any of that. I've never smoked one time. I've never drank one time. And people respect that. And they're like, okay, well, Red's coming. We can smoke and we can drink when he leaves. We'll just have him here for an hour or two. I do my part and I go home. People respect that. So it's not much of a balance. Just be yourself.
You mentioned in situations where that's a very professional situation where people are respecting you,
mm-hmm.
respecting your time and whatnot. What about for situations where people, maybe it is professional, maybe it's not, but where people aren't respecting you, but you like, you know, you're a very, very kind person. You're a very warm person,
mm-hmm.
and you want to come off as nice as possible,
mm-hmm.
but in situations where you're noticing that you're not getting treated in a respectful way, in ways where you're like, I don't feel like, you know, this does not feel right, like the right situation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you recommend somebody deal with that where they're in that place where they, you know, not necessarily uncomfortable, but they're just like, this doesn't feel right. Okay. This is not my like vibe.
Yeah.
You know,
I call that what you just asked before I even answer. I call that a branch question. That's not a root. If you are staying in places where you're not wanted and respected, there's more of a root to that than there is like, you know, worried about everybody else. Why would you stay anywhere where you're not respected?
Right.
And the real root to that is the fear of losing out on what you think that you're going to get from, from that thing. If I always feel like if I'm around people who don't respect me, they don't respect themselves and they're going to lose anyway. So I don't really care to lose that. Hmm. You know, I'm just going to disappear. Hey, you guys don't respect me. You don't respect my time. You're like,
yeah,
cool. I don't, you know, have to vocalize and, you know, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing this and you should be on time. I just disappear to go do something else. Now I don't have to worry about them. And I've never seen anybody flourish that doesn't respect people. So, you know, that, you do yourself a favor. Just disappear.
Sweet.
Literally just disappear, man. And, you know, I think what I really want to get to is like to point out like the real thing is what I feel is the fear of missing out. We think that they're going to offer something that we can't get somewhere else. And you absolutely can.
Mm. And we got quotes up today.
I mean, yeah. I used to tweet all day. I just do Instagram quotes and jokes. So.
You play a lot of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? How you got to that point?
Do you
still like practice?
I don't practice at all. Like I literally don't practice. I don't have time to practice now. But it goes back to I only want to be doing what nobody else can do. And so when there's not a bass player around, I pick up a bass and I play it in like or keys or whatever and drums. It's funny, I had to play drums at church for about a month at the top of the year. They call me a smooth jazz drummer. They don't like my drumming, but who cares? I did it. And there wasn't another drummer there, and I just had to do it. So that just really goes to necessity. I can't even like pat myself on the back. Like, I do everything. Like, I just do what I have to do because I'm not going to wait on nobody else. You know, so
sweet.
If I could play trumpet and all that kind of stuff, I would do it. But mentally, I can't do it because there's only three buttons. I just don't get it.
You said, oh,
I just don't understand.
The piano has so many. And yeah, the bass has so many.
Yeah, like I can see it, but trumpet has three buttons. I don't understand how that works.
It's weird because the physics of a trumpet, mm-hmm. you have to know, or I'm sure a lot of people don't know, but the first valve might change two partials, but the second one changes one, and then you have to. You have a bunch of.
Nope.
A bunch. Yeah. You just have a bunch of.
Nothing you said makes sense.
Math music.
Math music.
I'm really good at math. That does not make sense.
Oh, man.
That makes no sense at all.
No, it's not math music. It's like you got to think about math while you're like operating.
People like Dwight, he probably like, yeah, I play the trumpet. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I get it how I get it.
Chris explained it once in a workshop, and I was like, that's the closest to making sense that I've ever heard.
Okay.
It was something about an airstream and where you blow and like his face is actually moving, but I can't see it moving and the airstream is moving. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, because he does the.
But it doesn't look like his face is moving.
I don't play it. So.
Oh, well, see, there we go. Nobody here plays trumpet and here we are trying to explain.
Instrument. I just know from, you know, the classes and stuff and, you know, how they like to describe it.
Uh-huh. Makes no sense. Three buttons. Need more buttons.
But if we were to make a Darrell, Red, Campbell, Jr., Gumbo.
Gumbo?
Yes.
Okay.
What will be in that gumbo? Musical gumbo.
Explain this question.
So, let's say you're like, okay, I threw in some Prince.
Ooh.
And then I threw in some bass. Okay. But then I was to throw in my kids, too, through the gumbo. Then you would get Darrell.
So this is describing me?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's hard.
I know.
I can't even answer that. Like, I don't
know.
I have to. Yeah, this is your show, so I gotta do what you said. That's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm gonna start with my upbringing. Okay. I'm a hip hop guy.
Okay.
Born in Detroit, West Side. Like, I'm a hip hop guy, so I love hip hop first, but then my dad plays, so I'm like a top 40, 70s, 80s dude too. It's like, I kind of feel like I was born 10 years late. I should have been in a garage band, like Earth, Wind & Fire or something. So I'm kind of like, man, Wu-Tang, Earth, Wind & Fire, love God. So we got Kirk Franklin in there somewhere, some Fred Hammond.
Okay, pop it, flopping it.
Yep. Man. Then we got the classical part. Shoot, man. This is hard. That is the second hardest thing I've ever been asked in my life. And I feel like you're going to ask the other question. I'm not going to say what it is, and I'm just going to wait. And it, like, maybe at the end of the show, I'll tell you what I feel like is the hardest musical question I've ever been asked.
I was going to ask, what is the hardest?
I felt like that.
What is music?
A second.
No.
Oh, man.
Right. Right. What
yeah,
you going to say?
That's hard. What are you going to say? That's hard. That's the best answer I can give, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flute, we started up. Darrell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was hard.
I like it. Well, we're going to, you mentioned growing up, West Side of Detroit.
Yep.
You came up in Detroit in the various genres and scenes. Uh-huh. Talk a little bit about coming up in those scenes and what your thoughts are on the scene as it is now.
Ooh, okay. It's funny that like I see hip hop as like definitely as an art form and an expression of like explaining what is the best way to explain what people feel, like feel the way they feel. So like even like rest in peace DMX, like that happened, like he was able to explain how he felt even in his journey from being Dark Man X to being DMX. Like, I feel like what hip hop does is put people in a space where they can make that gumbo. Oh, that's dope. Yeah, because I'm making this up as I go. like, it, when you feel expressive, when you feel like, you know, you want to say something hard, you can do it in hip hop. When you want to say something soft, you can be LL. So, like, I feel like what hip hop does is, like, create this space where people can make art to describe what they feel. And hip hop still does that. I'm not one of those older people that are like, oh, trap music is terrible. Trap music and like the Dirty South sound and stuff like that have their space. And that's somebody's art form. If if I'm allowed to even do this, we're still two generations now at this point out of slavery. So the fact that like a guy has money now and he gets to buy a grill and a car and have a house, he's celebrating that the best way he can. Mm-hmm. It comes out in a trap sound. You know, I got this and I got that. Like, you know, and so that's their art form. And I respect all of it. And that actually has come with time. There was a point where I was working with a label in Atlanta. And I'm just going to say it. I was like, I hate Lil Jon stuff. I hate Lil Jon music. I was just like, this is the wackest stuff ever. And at that time, there was Tone Tone who was doing stuff in Atlanta too, because he had got signed to Jazzy Faye.
Okay.
And I had friends that were doing stuff with one of the young artists. I can't remember if it was either Young Jock or Young Dro or Young Jeezy or Young somebody. But they was at the beginning of their career. So there's a big thing popping off in Atlanta. And I'm like, this is trash. And then there was a producer who actually he couldn't play at all. He was making beats on Fruity Loops and making real money. Making real money. He said, try to remake it. I did. Try to redo what Lil Jon does. And try to scream the way that he does. You can't do it. I respect it now. I'm like, oh God, this junk is hard. Like the mix on this, the mix on Outkast stuff, like all that bass at the bottom, and it's still like, dude, that's art. That's hard to do. So the state of music now is still happening. It's still creating that space for people to be able to explain or like, you know, present what they want. It's just some people ain't connecting with it. So if you ain't connecting with it, leave it alone. Like, I can't tell you that your orange ain't orange. Like, let your orange be orange and go listen to what you listen to. Like, you want to listen to Bach and Beethoven? By all means, do it. Don't tell me mine, you know, my orange ain't orange. So that's how I feel about music now. It's evolving. Everybody I don't evolve with, it gets ran over anyway.
So which artist or which approach would you, do you like in today's time, like the J. Cole, Kendrick approach, or do you, would you prefer, I wouldn't say Lil Pump, but like Future?
Yeah, I would definitely go to Cole, Kendrick,
okay,
type of route.
So you like more storytelling?
Yeah, yeah, because okay, there's a lot of people that I don't even know.
Like, okay,
a bunch of artists that I just never even heard of. I DJ a little bit too, and it's funny because I take the same approach that I have with the rest of my life. I only play what I want, so I don't take requests, and I had to learn that DJing because I don't do kid parties because they always ask for stuff that I've never heard of. Like, I need to, like you said, Lil Pump or something like that. I didn't know that was a person. Sorry, I didn't.
Maybe Lil Wayne might be better, but even Lil Wayne tells stories too.
He does. Yeah. Wayne's been dope for a very, very long time. But even these young artists and whatever, I'll still license stuff for them. I'll still make it. Just ain't got to listen to it.
Good way to think about it. Just a really great way to think about it.
Reminds me of Questlove.
Yep.
A book called Creative Quest, and I was reading it, and he was talking about how he was like, I think he was DJing for like Obama.
Word.
And Obama requested a song. Like, oh, he's just like, I don't take requests.
Yeah.
But then Obama came up
and requested like, something.
All right. All right. I'll take
you know what? I think I will right. take this request.
I think I'll take this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you coming right up. I mean, you trust that kind of request. But yeah. Like,
it, and he was just like, he didn't say the song, but he was like,
yeah, I'm going to play it.
It just can't be Pookie and them.
No, I get it. Look. There was a band that I played with for a long time and we didn't take requests. And then we got to a big gig and a big guy asked for a request and we just made it up. Hey, do you know, and it was funny too. I can remember this. Hey, you guys know Kenny G's new such and such? Of course we do. We just made it up.
Amazing.
Don't Kenny G, all Kenny G songs sound the same, don't they? So this is no shout to, I shouldn't have said that. Kenny G, your music sounds awesome.
Yeah.
We can always cut that part out.
No. I'm cutting nothing
out. Yeah, Kenny G and Kenny Garrett.
Not the same person at all.
Not the same person, but we love both of your music.
Yep. We respect both of your art.
Your arts.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. So how has Detroit impacted your life?
Man, Detroit has completely, there, everything in my bio that you read is funny. I don't like hearing it, but like everything in there is specific. Like the fact that I grew up in Detroit and the fact that I started when I was 10 and like how everything came about are real important to me. I had some amazing people around me my whole life. I had great men around me. My dad's always been in my life. Even football coaches and things like that. And I feel like the culture in Detroit makes that. Like, it's a little different now because guys ain't, I can't say guys ain't what they were, but just the grit of Detroit. Man, I tell this story too. A musician in Detroit is way more ready than anybody else anywhere. We have to be ready for so much stuff that so many other people don't. And we just have to do it and we don't even think about it. Peep this. So like in the fall and winter time, we're leaving the house. We've got to have a coat. We got to have a case for our instrument. It's got to stay warm. Like we got to have proper transportation. But you're in, somewhere that's always hot. I go to Jamaica. I think it was Jamaica or Bahamas. And the guy's just carrying his keyboard around. He don't need a case. It's always hot. It's not raining. You don't have no elements to protect it from. But in Detroit, we need boots. We need, we are just ready for stuff that everybody else ain't. So Detroit makes this grit and hustle. Like the other thing about Detroit, man, it's like we don't do celebrities. You ain't a celebrity until you make it outside of Detroit and come back. We don't do celebrities. You are who you were until you get a hit single outside the rest of the country. You can come back to Detroit and you can be, Big Sean. Big Sean used to rap outside of Cass every day. Still Big Sean until you get something big. So like Detroit makes you prove who you are. Then you are who you are. We force you to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Man, that is so
many...
freaking true.
Yeah, dog.
It's crazy because there's so many people like around like you got, when you go outside of the country or when you even just go to another state, people are like, oh, where are you from? You don't say like, I'm from Ferndale.
Never.
You just say, I'm from Detroit.
You're from Detroit.
I'm from Detroit. Metro Detroit.
Yep.
Okay. Metro Detroit. Okay. Southeast Michigan.
Yep.
You know? Do you know 8 Mile?
There's this like kind of like populace, like how you're mm-hmm. mentioning that it just has that attitude, you know?
Yep.
You live in the suburbs. You want to go to the city. You got to drive.
Yep. Yep. You know? I've never been on a major tour or show and didn't meet somebody from Detroit. Always. There's always somebody from Detroit on the scene. It's not the tech, if it's not the light man, it's not somebody in the band. I've never, ever been on a major show and didn't see somebody from Detroit.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And then you're just like, oh,
we run this.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's funny. You know what we do when we see each other? You say, what up, though?
Yeah. What up, though?
Is
what
that
up?
A Detroit thing?
That's complete Detroit thing.
Okay. Either, what you, is you it? Say, what up, though, or what's good?
Yep. Yeah. Everywhere else has their own thing, you know.
Yeah.
What's cracking, what's, you know, what's popping, and what it do. They got all that. You say, what up, though? Heads turn. Oh, Detroit. Detroit's in the house.
There's a bunch of those little things, too.
I was about to say, when Lewis was telling us about the swing.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, like,
that's
people know they're like, oh, you from Detroit?
You from Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. How you know? Y'all just be swinging different.
Dude,
y'all just
be swinging it can get even different. More specific because keyboard players and voicings. You're from Detroit, and you play at church. Like, they know it when you start playing. It's like, they know the voices. So, yeah, man.
You can describe it, but you can't describe it.
But you can't describe it. Either you got the Detroit thing, or you don't.
You know? If you did know, nah. Yeah.
Now you do. Yeah.
Ooh.
What is something that you want to see more of in Detroit?
Support. I told you I had like a bunch of great men around. I like at this point I wanna be that guy that I had growing up. I wanna see that all over the place. Like as we get older, like reach back and, you know, don't force people to work so hard to prove now like who they are. Like just support. Offer knowledge. Give stuff, you know. You got an extra instrument, give it away. Like I want to see that across the world. Just people giving stuff to people. I love to give stuff to people. I'm a big giver. So, yeah. Yeah. Give away. Give
what
stuff.
A good man. What a just good man.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what are some teaching and strategies that you bestow to students nowadays?
Try. Oh, just try stuff. Especially as a beginner student, you don't know what you're good at. You don't know what you really like. And don't say you don't like country music because you might be the best one doing it. Like, just because you grew up on the East Side don't mean you don't like country music. Like, just try it. Then say you don't like it. And then put what you learned in your pocket, too. Even if you don't like it, you know, you might use it later. So try. Dude, three-letter word. Just give it a try. You never know. You might be amazing at it.
What's something that you, like, urge students to like learn, like how, like a way to learn, you know?
The answer to that is like one of the reason why I like kind of work so hard is to like to create those moments where people can try, make safe spaces where mistakes are allowed, or to not be good at something, or to create new things and stuff like that. So like it's really important for me to like when I don't see somebody else doing it, but create the space for people to be and try.
How do you, what are some ways you can like give advice on like incorporating different styles into everything you play?
First, I think it's like just respecting differences, like respecting like how other people do things. And again, we're trying it now, like, you know, give it a shot and that might help you respect what they do a little better too. So like incorporating different styles and like, I heard Vince Chandler this week explain it like, if you only had your own cooking at your house, you would expect everything to be like that. But now you got to go out and try different food. And now you can base what is really good based on the other things that you try. So just, again, trying new stuff, you know, within some healthy parameters. Because I'm not like, you know, go out and do everything. But like, give it a shot. Listen to it. You know, if you really, really hate it and you want to figure out why people like it, try and remake it. Because that worked for me.
Yeah. There's this, I have this story I was telling Dom earlier of another time where I was just like, man, this man has wisdom that has been bestowed.
Me.
It was crazy. So it was, again, sophomore year of college, and Darrell is in the top ensemble, and I'm in the intermediate ensemble. I'm like still learning and stuff. And then the instructor, he asked us to come in to the top ensemble because there's a couple people missing. I was like, oh man, this is going to be amazing.
It's my moment.
And I brought an arrangement. I'm just like, oh man, we're going to play it. It's going to sound so good. And I bring it to Darrell and I'm just like, I put it in front of you. And then you're just like, all right, man, do you want me to play what you have written here? Or do you want me to Darrellize?
That sounds like me.
I was like, okay. So, and then we played it in like, I was like, man, like he's kind of doing what I did, but kind of doing like something that's like a lot more dope than what I wrote down. And it just like incorporated a bunch of different things. So I was just like, man, that's like so like.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate, first of all, the space to do that on your stuff. Like, but you know, I respectfully ask first, hey, do you want me to play what you did? Or like, I kind of see something here. And a lot of times, this is a weird thing about me, but I see shapes when I play. And so I see shapes when I read too. So I'm looking at something and I can see the shape of what you intended to do. I'm like, I'm not going to play that, but I get the point. Like, I know what you wanted. Now you handed it to me. Can I do what you want me to do? And so,
Let me help you help me.
Yeah. Let's all help each other.
Yeah.
You know, you guys got the specific part. You got 4-part harmony. I ain't got no harmony. I ain't got to harmonize with nobody. Or I'll listen and figure out when you really wanted me to harmonize. But I do. I learned that looking at people's walking lines. And like, the way I explain walking, especially on bass, is I see the line and you can tell me where you want me to go, but you can't tell me how to get there. So like, nobody can teach you, you know, how to walk. If I feel like limping at the time, if I feel like walking like a pimp, if I feel like walking backwards, you can't tell me how to walk. But if you're telling me GPS says I need to get from this house to that house, I got you. I get there and I'll be there on time. But you can't tell me what to put on. You can't. So that's
like, it's like the opposite of that quote that you said. It's like nowhere to go, but be flexible about it.
No, that's exactly that quote.
Actually, hold on.
Be very specific about where you're trying to get to, but like, be flexible with the the method
totally
how you get there.
Yeah,
I'm teaching that and walking all the time.
So, for people that want to get into touring and playing like live shows, what are some lessons that you've learned from touring that you would like to pass on?
Okay. Have a lot of character. Like being on time, even though I was late to this. I apologize again because I'm usually not late to stuff. But like,
it's all right. He pulled up in a Tesla, so it made it all the way back.
Goofy. But yeah, no, you got to be like just a likable person and have like those intangibles. Of course, playing is, you know, that's important. But the things like being on time, being a liked person, a likable person, being a person who is who travels well. Oh my gosh. People have ruined their opportunities on tour because they just don't know how to pack. Hey, we got limited space in this van or on this bus, and you've got 4 suitcases. We don't want you to come back. Or, you know, taking care of yourself. If you're a person who, man, there was another tour. We had an older guy. Everybody was around my age, but there was an older guy who had to have specific meals at specific times. And we're like, this is a headache all the time. Like, we always have to stop. Or this guy, he always has to use the bathroom 2 hours after. This is a big headache. So it's like those literally the intangibles and like being a person like that somebody would want to live with. That's really huge for a person who wants to be on tour. So fix those things first and then find a gig. Because it's going to snowball after you do one. You do one well, knock it out, you'll get caught for something else. You don't want to get caught and not be prepared as a person.
I like it. What is something that you will never forget that you use constantly, whether it is a quote or a concept or anything? It can be anything.
It's funny because we just talked about the character thing and being late. Marcus Belgrave. I was playing with him my senior year in high school. Okay. Marcus was a huge giver. He bought my my friend, he's still one of my great friends, Marion Felder, great drummer. He plays with Michael Bublé now. So we both learned a bunch of stuff from Marcus, okay? We were playing this gig, and Marcus decided, well, let me go back. Marcus decided to make a trio out of us. And we're high school kids, and we're like, you know, I'm playing with Marcus. Marcus is cool. It's at the Harlequin Cafe, which is no longer open, but it was every Wednesday night. Me and Miriam were both late. It was raining, probably snowing, because there was nobody there. Nobody showed up this night. It was already a small crowd thing anyway. Marcus was kind of using it to teach us stuff. But we were late. Nobody was there except Marcus. Gig was supposed to start at 7. He cussed us out from 7 to about 9:15. Called us all kind of ungrateful. He bought Miriam a drum set, like, so he could play and practice and be on gigs and stuff. Like, he bought it for him and just, you know, created this opportunity and everything for it. Cussed us out for 2.5 hours and then said, okay, we're going to play the last hour now. You're talking about, I'm crying now. Like, I'm a 17-year-old kid who just got cussed out by a guy and then said, now let's play. And nobody is there. We should have went home at 7:30. Like, you know, as soon as we got there. Like, but no, I learned right then, like, you don't take people for granted. Marcus was, he could have been doing anything else. He's Marcus freaking Belgrade. He could have made the trio with anybody else. Everything he said was right. I can call anybody I want to. I can go be playing anywhere. I can just go sit at home if I want to. I don't have to give you this opportunity. I didn't have to buy you no drums. You didn't like, I'm like, I don't have a car, Marcus. My mom was dropping me off. I like, there's no excuses. I said be here at 7. You should have been here at 6:15. Like, you were right. So yeah, I take all of that and I'm like, that made me, that changed me. Get cussed out by 2 hours. It was literally over 2 hours. And he said, let's play some songs now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm playing.
You know? So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
You got some hobbies?
Hobbies?
Outside of music?
Yeah. I work out so I can look the same. I'm actually pretty athletic, actually. I was a pretty good quarterback at Cass and for the West Side Cubs back in the thing. I tell a lot of jokes, you know, my knock-knock jokes and stuff like that. I read a lot now.
What are you reading?
I just read Quiet Strength again by Tony Dungy. Crazy. His concepts and stuff, you know, just growing up and the way he grew up and being a quarterback and now where he is and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was the last thing I read. That was a couple weeks ago. Yep. I goof off with my son. Oh, that's pretty important. We go to the movies a lot. So we definitely saw Godzilla or whatever last week. Is that last week? Yeah, I think that was last week when it came out.
Wait, yep. The movies are open?
Oh, yeah.
Which movie did you watch?
Lisa? AMC. AMC 20. We went in Livonia. We went and saw Godzilla and King Kong.
Yeah. Shoot, I'm trying to go to the movies.
Yeah. I used to go to movies every Tuesday because you get free popcorn on Tuesdays.
Oh, what?
Dang, what?
You didn't know
for
that?
Real? What?
Yeah, you just get the little free card. You literally get free popcorn every Tuesday.
What?
I used to go to the movies and take naps. I didn't even have to like the movie. I'd just go because it was Tuesday.
Dang.
Now my Tuesdays are real.
You know what's crazy, though? Is that the AMC in Southfield is gone now.
Is it?
It's up for lease.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
That's a pretty dirty theater, though. So
yeah, but the coolest part about that theater is the ground.
Yeah,
I love
sparkly
that.
That was the only great part.
I grew up in Southfield, man, and we went to that movie theater like almost every week, and that was my favorite part as a kid.
I played the grand opening of that theater. I don't even remember what year that was. That was a long time.
That's crazy.
I played the grand opening of a lot of stuff. I played the first of a lot of things. Hey guys, I played a lot of stuff. Okay, like I've been playing a long
time.
Tell
us a few things that people wouldn't know that you played on. If you care to share.
If you feel like it.
Yeah. Okay, you want records or like gigs?
Or even a commercial that you were talking about.
Everything.
Everything. Okay. Everything.
Okay. I'm usually not good at remembering this kind of stuff, but we like been in the vein of like. So I definitely played 2 inaugurations. I played Obama's first. I played Trump's inauguration. I've played, you know, the website Ustream. Mm-hmm. I played the very first Ustream ever in South by Southwest. I played the very, like, the prototype show. I played the very first one. I played almost every opening of the of every casino in Detroit because they all opened consecutively. So it was like there was a time where all of those were opening. More stuff that I commercials. There was a cable commercial for, ooh, I can't even think of the name of it. Is it Spectrum now? When their name changed? I learned about that on tour. I was in a hotel and I just saw it and I was like, hey, I did that track. And then I looked at my BMI and was like, oh, it's already there. Like, it was already accredited. So, nice. Yeah, and the way that my first license and stuff was set up was like, don't ask me any questions. I made the music already. So, like, don't ask me if it's okay. Like, yes, it's okay. Put it out there and then just pay me for it. So, contracts are already done. It was already set. And there are a bunch of licensing companies out even still, like the Yes Ian Group, and they do that kind of stuff for you. So, you just make music and then they represent you. So, yeah, there were some radio commercials.
So, how would you get into doing this?
I don't know. I don't know how you get into it now. I don't know. Maybe you just call it a company. I don't know. Maybe just look up licensing. I don't know. I would say look up licensing. I'm sure there are websites now that just license. There have to be like licensing websites. The same way there are like BeatStars and stuff like that where you just upload and people, yeah, I guess that's what BeatStars would be, a licensing company. Duh. So you go to the website, so you just upload stuff now and then promote and then,
you know. And then if they pick your track, then you just sign the contract and stuff like that.
It's probably already signed already, which would be the best way to do it. Because if you can just license stuff all across the country all the time, you know, if you make a track, like there's two ways of doing it. Like, so you make a track and you charge somebody $15,000 for that track. Likeliness of somebody having $15,000, you know, that ain't happening. But if you license it for $50 for, you know, each person, then you still make good money. Mm-hmm.
Little bits here and there and stuff.
There's a lot of people like have like super huge goals and stuff like that, but like I keep inching at mine. So at this point, I'm like, I need to make $225 every day. That's my goal right now. It works because that still is around $80,000 a year.
Yeah. That's dope.
I love it.
That's my minimum.
I love it.
I need to make $225.
Who would you like to have on the? Who would you like us to have on this podcast? And what would you like us to ask them?
You know, I should have done more research to see who's already been on it. Has Chris been on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Chris recommended you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris would, because that's
my. I'll give you a rundown of, you know, some people. So Vince has been on here.
Okay.
You know, Lewis M. Jones the
third. Yep.
He's been on here. Jeff Dunn has been on here. Okay. Uh-huh.
Sean Dobbins.
Yeah.
David Alvarez. Marion Hayden was on here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aaron. Wow. Wendell Harrison was on here.
Okay.
So
is this specific to jazz? Because it sounds like a lot of jazz guys.
Oh, we'll start saying some artists.
Don't say the one that we have coming up.
Okay.
Actually, wait. Technically, he would
be. So Tylon.
Tylon
Sawyer
has
been on. Anthony Brass and Especia Fatio have been on. They are some wonderful artists. They live in Warren.
Okay.
This is one of Anthony's pieces.
And that's one of his pieces.
Dope.
So if you ever want some art, he does commissions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And let's see. Nomadic comes before you. So Nomadic Madam will be on the podcast as well.
Dope.
And she is a photographer.
Dope.
Yeah. But we have a lot of interesting people coming up. But
what about like Raphael Staten?
Not yet.
Or Deshaun?
Not yet.
Or
you're kind of like the start of that whole group.
Dope.
Yeah. Sasha's also going to
Sasha's another one of those brains. They're like, yep. Yeah, he's got a great story too. So
yeah, we're trying to make each season like a well balanced, so everyone gets everything that's happening in Detroit. So we like to have at least like two musicians, like an artist, maybe a singer, or a photographer, a graffiti artist. Yeah. We're trying to branch out into all of it.
No, I can think
maybe
of
maybe the mayor one day.
Why not?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. That's me too. You're like, why did you do that? Like, why not do that? You can give me more reasons to. Yep. Yeah, I can think of some more people too. There's so many great artists in the city, man. So many different brains and so many different perspectives.
Any poets? Anybody else you can think of?
Not off rip, but I will. Okay. I will think of some more people.
If you do, this just.
Dope. Yeah, just the dope conversation. And, yeah. You guys know me personally, so you can just text me.
I got you.
So we're going to do one of our last sections of the M Detroit podcast. We call it Hip the Listener. This is where we have you, the guest, hip the listeners to anything, whether it be music, art, events, movies, documentaries, whatever you want. Hip the listener.
Okay. So I just like tell you stuff that like I'm listening to or like
anything.
That I just know.
Anything you want to hip us.
I got a website, meetredonline.com. I don't keep up with it, but I need to, and I should, and I shall. So saying it out loud actually makes me accountable too. So hip you to that. Hip you to, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. What are people doing now? I don't know. It's COVID.
You tell us. You know?
What are you doing with your son? What you guys?
Oh, okay. Outside of music, you know. Go to the movies. Go for walks. Go to the gym. Don't eat so much processed food. Make your own food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And give. Oh, man. Give a lot. Like, I actually taught a lesson at church the week before last about giving. Like, if you're not giving to the point where it makes you change your lifestyle, you're not really giving. You're actually a pretty greedy person. Just give. Give stuff. Give food away. Give clothes away. Man, this changed me one day, too. I was at a church, and there was this drummer who actually ended up passing away. I said, dude, that's a dope shirt. It was an orange shirt with white stripes. That's a dope shirt. He said, this shirt? Yeah. He took it off and handed it to me. It's like, it's the craziest thing I ever thought of. So there's random days now. This is not one of those random days because this happens every time I tell these. Sorry. There's random days now where I specifically am like, if anybody compliments this, I'm giving it to them. It could be my watch. It could be, you know, whatever. It'd be the hat that I'm wearing. I'm like, but I specifically make it up that day. But like, just give stuff to people, man. Just like, yep, give. I don't know if that answered the question. I feel like that was a...
It did.
Okay. I felt like that was a tangent, though.
That's a great answer.
Okay,
good. That's like the first of its kind answer.
Or...
First of its kind. Because...
We were so happy when we made this question.
Hit the listener. Hit the listener. But we're on our last section.
Okay.
And it's going to be the... rapid fire questions.
Okay, so it's like one word answers when you like.
No, I mean,
I'm about to say,
but quick though.
Okay, good.
Just rapid fire questions doesn't necessarily have to be rapid.
Okay,
so first one, favorite ensemble / project to work for, write for, not work, write.
I've been doing movies lately, so there's this company called Blacksmith. I think that's what they're called, Blacksmith Entertainment. But they do like local stuff, local movies. Actually, I got a movie coming out next week. I scored it. Comes out next Saturday. It premieres next Saturday. It's called Dear Future Husband. So, yeah, my favorite people to work with right now. Yep. I mean, outside of Chris. Me and Chris do stuff every day. You know, our relationship is kind of weird. Like, you know, we're as close as we can get without being, you know, anything else. Yep. Mm-hmm. I love working with Chris. I would do anything with Chris. I will paint a room with Chris. Like, me and Chris can do anything together. Yep.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yep. If you had a billboard anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say?
It would say try. It would be... I don't know where it would be, but it would say try.
Okay.
I like it.
Top three hip-hop artists.
Childish Gambino. J. Cole. Kendrick.
Top three bass players.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
James Jameson. Motown. Victor Wooten. Rodney Whittaker.
Feeling.
Funk, Motown, or gospel?
Funk, Motown. Absolutely. Easy.
Dope.
Okay.
Oh, wait. That was three different things. Yeah. Motown. Motown. We're going to go Motown.
Okay.
Motown. Even though I'm not separating those two. That's I'm like, funk, Motown. But I'm going to go Motown.
Okay. Confucius said you have two lives. The second one starts when you realize you only have one. When did you start your second life?
Ooh. I got sick. Early 30s. Yep, I got sick. And that made me even more passionate about, like, only doing what I'm called to do. So, like, was that early 30s? Nope. That was 26 or so. Because that was right around the time of Obama's inauguration, too. So I was sick. I just had my son. And I'll tell a little bit of that story real quick. I can tell that. Okay, so my son is 12. And he was supposed to be born January 20th. 2000, what is that, 11 or so, or I guess.
Is that his second or his first?
The first or second inauguration.
First or second
inauguration. First.
Oh, so 2008.
Eight. Okay, yeah. So this is eight. So this is, my son was supposed to be born January 20th. I was already booked to play it. That was the same day of the inauguration. I had already made up my mind. I'm going, this Obama's first black president. I'm booked to play the freaking inauguration. Yes, I'm going. Then I thought about it, like, wait, my son's supposed to be born the exact same day. And I'm like, dang, I'm already making the decision to put my career before my kid. He was born on the 7th. And my son is always, like, that even testament about me and his relationship. Thanks for looking out for me, bro. You came out 13 days early and I got to go do inauguration. Like, but I would have missed my son being born for my career. I'm like, I'm not doing this his whole life. So I was like, I'm done touring. I quit. I quit that band. I quit. I was like, I'm cutting back on everything. I ain't doing it no more. So that changed a lot.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's like a hard decision right there.
You already booked it, though. And it's like,
yeah,
it was like November-ish or so when you get that call. That's not a, hey, you doing this next week. Like, hey, we're planning an inauguration. Boom, boom, boom. You know, we got this set up. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing that. January 20th, no big deal. Oh, shoot. My son's due date. Shoot, that is January 20th as well.
Wild, man.
Yeah, my son always looks out for me. Thanks for coming out early, son. Love you, dude.
So I know your family's going to love this, and I'm going to love this even more. Use a Elmo voice and tell us how you make your coffee.
I don't even drink coffee.
Call that.
We like came up with that question, and then I'm just like, I bet you he doesn't even.
Nope. Okay.
All right. Top piece of advice to young musicians.
Try. That was it. Boom. That was easy.
Yeah.
Try. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't do something. Try it.
Favorite hat. Ooh. You wear a lot of hats.
I wear a lot of hats. I got this hat from a random website, but it says the Munchies on it. And it has a donut on the brim and a bite taken out of it.
Oh, that's dope. All right.
I'm going to have to buy this hat.
What are you working on now that you want people to check out?
I can partially say, no, I can't say that. Chris and I are working on a project at the Motown Museum. Period.
All right. When can we expect something?
You will hear about this by the summer.
Hear about it as in like it's happening or it's like announcing?
It'll be happening in the summer.
Would this have anything to do with your picture that you posted of your... Motown Museum.
Just built the studio at the Motown Museum.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Be on the lookout.
Darrell has the biggest smile right now. He's just like
he wants to tell us so bad.
Not supposed to tell you, but it's pretty dope to me. So
cool. All right. Where can people find you?
My website, meetredonline.com.
Okay.
Instagram is red_e_red, ready red. On Twitter, I'm Mr. Redriven. On Facebook, it's just my regular name, Darrell Red Campbell. And then you can find me in the street, son. I say.
Is there anything you want, anything else you want to leave with the audience? Or tell the audience?
Yeah, man. Look, I think this is dope. And support people, man. Like, you know, listen to people's podcasts and stuff like that and support and tell other people about it, because that in turn helps you, because then you'll be on it and people will be listening and like you'll be real mad at that opportunity you didn't take to share. Like, oh yeah, I'm doing a podcast next week. Nobody's watching because you didn't tell anybody about it. So, yep, that and try stuff, man. Don't let nobody tell you what you can and can't do. Not even the government. I'll pause there because the government be telling people what they can't do.
They do, though.
They do, though. The IRS, man. Creditors.
They be you telling to, me can't. I can't buy the car?
Man.
I can.
It'd be funny. Like, I used to have bad credit. I fixed that up as an older person. But I used to be like, I got bad credit, but I got money. You going to turn this down? And nobody ever said no. Nobody ever turned it down. Like, I want a house right now. You walk around with thousands of dollars in your hand and like, here, I can have that.
Well, I got a question about that, but
yeah,
I'll ask you after.
No, come on, man.
Okay, so did you pay flat out for it?
Like, I didn't. Oh, that's a lease. The Tesla's a lease.
Okay.
But
a nice lease?
Uh-huh.
Is it reasonable?
Absolutely. Tesla is not even as expensive as you think. It starts at $38,000. Like, yeah, the car starts at 38, and you don't have to buy gas or oil ever again. So, like,
is insurance, if you don't mind me asking, so what's the most, or what do you pay monthly for all that?
A lot less than you think. I'll say that.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
So does insurance treat it like a sports car?
Nope. It says station wagon.
Oh, that is nice.
Yep. It's a very fast station wagon.
Is that because the model that you got?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, the car is still
Do they do the miles and stuff? So you can only go above?
Yeah. So you just pay more money. No big deal. I mean, you're saving it on gas anyway. So it's kind of hard to not drive that car when you have it. Then you're like, hey, can you come to? Yes, I can be there. Like, you want to show up in your Tesla. Like, so, yep. Yeah, I mean, but to that point, you know, like, just set yourself up to have dope stuff. I mean, live within your means, but set yourself up to do dope stuff. A lot of musicians don't set themselves up to retire, which I think is super retarded, because it's like everybody else gets to retire at some point. And I realized when I was playing with the Dramatics at like 21, they were still doing what they were doing their whole lives. I'm like, I'm not about to be carrying no amp and no bar at 40. I'm not doing that. I'm like, I gotta do something different now. Like, I'm not doing that. Yeah, staying out all, like, at some point you want to have a family and stuff, and you're like, we gotta go to rehearsal at 9 o'clock at night, and I gotta take my kids to school in the morning. Like, and when you get to rehearsal with the old guy that has that problem, you're like, that ain't my fault. You did that. Yeah. I had to get up at 6 o'clock to take my kids to school. Like, so you did that.
Yeah, they don't teach you. They don't teach you like saving strategies and
absolutely
401k Roth IRA things when you're on the gig.
Exactly. Set that stuff up. There's even the Federation of Musicians have a pension set up. You can set that up at a young age too. Like, you don't need to be making a lot of money to do it. You just got to do something dope. Make up a record or something. I mean, like, I know musicians who. I pause because I'm thinking and I said that. Yeah, I know musicians who collect unemployment. When they're not touring, they're at home, technically not working. They collect unemployment. I wouldn't do that, but there are people that do it. But set yourself up, man. Like, think beyond today. Say that.
Mm. Woo. Think beyond today.
I think that's a nice place to stop.
It is. Oh, so we thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you all.
Red Campbell Jr.
Yeah, man, this was a great conversation. We really appreciate you being on.
Heck, it's such
an honor to like have people like you come
and
on.
Then learn even more. And learn even more. I just want to say this. I've known you only because of my father.
Yeah.
And I just knew you as the bass player.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I got to see more.
Hey, man.
I got to see more. And I'm glad I know more now.
I'm super glad to be here, man. I'm glad for the questions and everything. And, like, you know, being receptive to my answers. One of the other things about me is I definitely compartmentalize myself to not go crazy. So if you think I'm just a bass player, I will be that.
No.
I'm saying it. Like, that's me, though.
Okay. But
until you start asking me stuff, like, I'm same as you. Like, you here ordering food? I'm here ordering food, right?
True.
I'm not a platinum selling artist at Five Guys. I want burgers and fries like everybody else. I don't get preferential treatment because I got a platinum.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. So, yeah, thanks for asking and thanks for being open and listening and receiving my answers and my weird self.
Well, you take care, Red.
Yeah. Right. All right.
Cool.
Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Check out our social media, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
And also make sure to like, share, and subscribe to all of our social medias. And we'll see you later.